If you'll turn to Colossians chapter 1 with me. Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, was kind of an advanced group. They were also under a lot of doctrinal stress. A lot of people were there trying to attack the doctrine that Paul had given to them. But in this part, he talks about a prayer that he has for the people in Colossae. Look at verse 9. It says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask you that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened by all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." Now, just by reference, before I forget, if you'll just kind of keep your place here, because we'll be moving around, but we'll keep coming back to this section here. The phrase we're looking at here is that you may walk worthy of the Lord. It shows up better on my screen than it does on yours, unfortunately, but you kind of can see where we're focusing in on. The idea of walking worthy of the Lord is not the idea of deserving, right? It's not that we walk deserving what He's given to us, right? That's not what He's talking about at all. The word here is axios, kind of where we get our word axle from. It has the idea of something that's being of weight, of value, of worth, something that kind of balances things out. And so what He's actually saying here is that when we walk in a way that's worthy of the Lord, our walk needs to be compared to the Lord. It needs to balance out. It needs to be something that's consistent with God. It needs to be something that has the same values that He has, and so forth. And when you think about it, that's really a very daunting sort of prospect. It's a very challenging sort of prospect. When I think of my walk and I compare it to what I know the Lord would have of me, they don't always compare out so well. But that's going to be our goal. That's what He wants for us. This is what Paul wanted for the church in Colossae. This is what He wants for believers today, everywhere. Right? That we walk worthy of the Lord. He adds another phrase. The next phrase is fully pleasing Him. How do we walk worthy of the Lord? Well, He defines it for us in a sense. What does He mean? He means walk in a way that fully pleases Him. Right? The idea of fully pleasing, literally, this word means all pleasing or completely pleasing. Right? To please Him, we recognize that we have to do it by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Right? So if we're going to fully please God, we must come to Him by faith. We must walk by faith. We must try to please Him by faith. Right? We come to Him as children of light. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you go ahead and turn there for just a second. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 talks about our role and how it's different from where we were in the past. As believers, He says, "For you were once darkness." Now notice He doesn't say you were once in darkness. He says you were once darkness. Right? "But now you are light in the Lord." Right? Positionally, that's what we have become. Right? Positionally, we were once darkness, but positionally, now we are right. Now we are light. Right? So He says, because of that position, then, He says, walk as children of light. And so we should walk worthy of the Lord. We should walk as if we're children of the light now. He says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." That word acceptable is the same word that we see in Colossians translated as fully pleasing Him. That we might find out what is acceptable to the Lord. You know, it's interesting. I don't really like that phrase acceptable so much because it really kind of diminishes what He's talking about. You know, if somebody asks you if they've done the job well, and you said, well, it was acceptable, what would you think? It kind of sounds like it meets just the minimum requirements, right? That's not what He's talking about here. He's talking about excelling. He's talking about meeting the complete, exact requirements, right? He's talking about meeting every requirement that He could possibly want. Finding out what is fully pleasing to the Lord is how I wish it was written. Right? Because that's the same word that it means. I wish they'd kept the same translation. Right? Look in Romans chapter 12. What is fully pleasing the Lord? What is acceptable to Him? Right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we see familiar verses here. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Both in verse 1 and in verse 2, that word acceptable appears. And it's the same word. Right? Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. How do we become fully pleasing to God? Well, one of the things we have to do is we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him. The dead sacrifices are gone. There's no need for them anymore. Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice in that sense. But He says now our obligation to God is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. He says that's what's going to be fully pleasing to Him. That is our reasonable service. That's a service that makes sense. And then He says instead of being conformed to this world, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's going to be acceptable. In fact, He says that's what's going to prove what is acceptable to God. He says that's what's going to prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for us. If we become transformed by the renewing of our minds. Right? It begins in the mind. Too often I think we as believers start trying to go out and actually do things in the flesh to try to please God. We get so gung-ho about it and say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this behavior for God. And we forget that behavior starts in the mind. The first thing we need to transform is the way we think. He says, being transformed by the renewing of my mind will prove the acceptable will of God. That's where it begins. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Where do we find this information that we're going to use to transform our minds? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and the church at Thessalonica was under a great deal of pressure. They were under a great deal of persecution. And it was an enduring persecution because that's the condition we see in both the letters that he writes to the Thessalonians. And verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. Just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you received from us how to walk and how to please God. We taught you how to do that, and we want you to abound more and more in those things. So he says, as you walk worthy of the Lord, in order to fully please Him, you have to walk as you received it from us. You know, Paul had his specific doctrine that he was trying to get across to them, right? He says, you have to walk in the way that you received from me, from Paul and company, right? He says, that's how you should walk. You should walk according to the commandments that I gave you. It's a big emphasis on trying to live the Ten Commandments. Trying to live according to the Old Testament commandments. What a waste of time. I'm not saying that some of those things aren't good. A lot of those commandments are repeated in Paul's writings, but those aren't for us today. He says, live according to the commandments that we gave you through the Lord Jesus. We have to understand that difference. Now, when you look at this phrase again, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, it starts out with a four-letter word. Usually we don't like talking about four-letter words, but I like talking about this one. This four-letter word is that. You'll notice in this phrase there are two that's. One up above and one, and this one just before. That here is a conjunction, and it's a subordinating conjunction. So it could be read in order that, or so that. Right? It's a conditional sort of thing. It indicates that what precedes this has to come first. So in order to walk fully pleasing the Lord, he says, the condition to doing that is above. He says, you must be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Right? That's where it all begins. If you want to walk worthy of the Lord, he says the first step is be filled with the knowledge of His will. Filled, make full. Fill to the full. Okay. He says, fill to the full with the knowledge of His will. And that word is full knowledge. Do you see the emphasis here on completeness? He doesn't just want to be filled half full. He wants to be filled completely full with the full knowledge of the will of God. Let me ask you then, when are we done studying what the will of God is? Anybody in here think they've got it all? Yeah, me either. So we have to continue on in this, right? The full knowledge, full discernment of His will. He says, do that in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'd like to challenge you in this, and that is go back and look at the term all wisdom. Because I will suggest to you that the only place that all wisdom shows up is in Paul's writings. It only shows up in Paul's writings because he's the only one that had access to all wisdom. The knowledge of the mystery, that which was kept secret since time began, wasn't available to the other writers of Scripture. Now, what they were writing was wisdom, and I'm sure they gave us everything that they knew. But we know from Scripture that some of God's wisdom was held back from them. Right? And so included in the idea of all wisdom is knowing. And spiritual understanding is knowing about the church, the body of Christ. Look at Colossians. Go to verse 18. Talking about Christ, he says, and He is the head of the body, the church. who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. He just got done talking about how Christ was involved in the creation of the world. Right? And so he says, we have to know about the church, the body of Christ. That's the entity that God's dealing with today. He's not dealing with Israel. There is no plan in effect for Israel right now. None whatsoever. The only plan that God is working out today is that which he made for the church, the body of Christ. And he says, in that relationship, Jesus Christ is our head. He doesn't say he's our king. He says he's our head. And we need to learn to relate to him in that way. Because it's different. It's based on different promises. It's a completely different relationship that we have with him. Look at verse 21. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. It says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. How do we know it's all wisdom? Well, he says, first, we have to understand the gospel. Right? He says, we need to be continue in the faith, and we need to be grounded and steadfast. We need to understand the hope that we have in the gospel. The hope for Israel was once that they would enjoy an earthly kingdom. If we're looking for that, we're looking for the wrong thing. God says, you have a heavenly hope. We have a hope that he will catch us away and take us up to heaven and be in heaven with him forever. And it's a glorious hope. I don't think it's really better or worse necessarily than what Israel's hope was, but it is different. And we should know what our hope for is. We have to understand the gospel. We have to understand the hope. Notice the definite articles here. Not just any old gospel, it's the gospel. Do you understand the gospel of the grace of God? What Paul refers to as my gospel. Right? Do you understand the hope that he had? He says, be grounded or rooted and steadfast, continuing in the faith. Right? Again, the definite article. There's a specific faith that he wants you to be joined, that he wants you to be steadfast in. Right? Now, when Paul puts the definite article there, he's not talking about faith in just believing. He's not talking about the act of faith. He's talking about that which you put your faith in. Okay? The doctrine. That's the faith. Go on with me in chapter and verse 24. He says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. The church, the body of Christ. That's one of the things we talked about. Verse 25, he says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship or dispensation, same word, from which dispensation from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Here Paul talks about the fact that we have a dispensation. There is a stewardship that was given to him. Right? Paul became responsible for the truth of the mystery. Responsible for the truth of the church, the body of Christ. And the rules that would govern it. He says we need to know about that if we're going to be fully pleasing him. We need to know the will of God. And a full knowledge of the will of God includes all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so it includes an understanding of this dispensation in which we live. The dispensation of the grace of God. Go back and read the first half of Ephesians chapter 3 if you want to know more about that dispensation and how it came about and what's involved in it. He says that dispensation is going to be important. We need to know that if we're going to fully please Him. The implication, of course, is if you don't know about the dispensation of the grace of God, if you don't know about the rules that God has laid down for the church, the body of Christ, if you don't recognize that separation, you cannot fully please Him. And I believe you could partially please Him. You could still give your testimony. You could still tell how Jesus saved you. You can tell about how Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. But if you don't fully understand that, you cannot fully please Him. You cannot fully do all the good works that He has ordained for you. Right? He says that includes the idea of the mystery. Here he talks about it as the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been made revealed. Now has been revealed to the saints. Do we understand that? Do we know that truth? Do we know its implications in how we live our lives? And what doctrine we choose to follow? He says we need to if we're going to fully please Him. He says if you do that, then you'll become complete in Christ. Paul says here, he refers to it as, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The word fulfill doesn't mean to finish a set of things that were set out for you in that way. Here it means just to complete. Right? There was something lacking in the word of God. There was something missing. What was given was good. What was given was right and it was true. But it wasn't finished. Paul says, the dispensation which I received, the truth which I received, the mystery which I received, was all done to complete God's word. It was necessary for us to be able to finish God's word. For us to understand about the truth of what was going on today. He says those things are what we need to be able to walk in a way that's pleasing Him. So you see, it's all on the side of the Lord. That's what God wants for us. That's what God wants us to know. And He says, you've got to know these things if you're going to walk in a way that's going to please me. So that's where we begin. We start by addressing our mind. We renew our mind by understanding these truths. We renew our mind by going over them again and again to make sure that we understand their full implication. So if we understand those truths, what will our walk look like? All that's included in that phrase, all wisdom. if we go back to the original passage, he says, then we will understand that we will be fruitful in every good work. If we're going to fully please Him, we'll be fruitful in every good work. If we understand all wisdom, we'll continue to be fruitful. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Too many times I think we separate out what we're supposed to know and what we're supposed to do. And we don't always see the connection between the two. Right? I go to church and I learn about things, and then when I get out in the real world during the week, it's kind of like I make it up as I go along. And we've got to understand that these two things are connected. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I may have said chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 16, says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is useful for doctrine, for teaching, for understanding. It's useful for reproof. That's showing us where we go wrong. It's useful for correction, which is how to change what went wrong. And it's useful for instruction in righteousness, or how do you live a righteous life? It's useful for all those areas. He says, for this purpose, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete or mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think our heart's in the right place a lot of times. We go out and we try to do what's right, but have we equipped ourselves? Sometimes we've equipped ourselves fine. Sometimes we're ready for the work that God set out for us. I know in my life, sometimes I haven't been fully equipped. And we need to go back to that study. We need to make sure that we understand the Word of God and His instructions for us. Look at chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. And verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, the Word of God is powerful. It will be able to help us. It will change you, if you allow it. It will help us do what is right. Now go to Ephesians chapter 3 for me real quick. You know, Paul said that if you walked in a way that fully pleased Him, you'd be fruitful in every good work, and we would increase in the knowledge of God. Look at verse 14 here of Ephesians chapter 3. He says, for this reason, he's just laid out the mystery to these folks, and its importance in terms of Paul's ministry. And in verse 14, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, as we increase in the knowledge of God, we see that we'll be strengthened with all might. How do we find the strength to walk worthy? We find it from God. We get it from God. How were we saved? We were saved because of what God did for us. How will we walk? We'll walk because of what God does for us. One of the hardest lessons I think we as Christians have to learn is that whatever we do for the Lord, we do best by getting out of the way. The harder we try to do it on our own, the worse it comes out. And that's not something I'm afraid we learn just once. I wish it were. But we keep trying to do it over and over again, don't we? And eventually, I think, we will learn that lesson. I just wonder if it'll be here or if it'll be in heaven. But the best thing we can do is get out of the way. So we're strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, the power that rests in us. Do you understand that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you? That is just an awesome thing. It's an awesome responsibility. But that power dwells in me, and He will do good through me if I just get out of the way. If we walk fully pleasing Him, we'll walk with all patience. We'll walk with long suffering and joy. Again, in 2 Timothy, I'll just read this one. It says, "But you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions and afflictions which came to me at Antioch." He says, you know all those things. Those were all things that I was doing through the Lord. Sometimes we don't think of long suffering as a good work. We think of it as something we have to endure until we get to the good work. That's not the case. That's not the case. We are to give thanks to the Father. Right? If we do those things, then we will fully please Him. Right? He says, He has qualified us. The Father has qualified us. The Father has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You see, that's one of the truths of the mystery. In fact, that is the mystery. That we Gentiles should be fellow heirs or joint heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. We are heirs together with Christ. Whatever Christ is entitled to, I'm entitled to. Not because I earned it, but because God's given it to me. Right? And so we see then that we are, and the word joint is actually in all three of those phrases. That we are joint heirs of a joint body and joint partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. So we see that if we're going to walk worthy of the Lord, we have to first start with understanding that phrase, all wisdom. We have to understand the spiritual understanding that He wants for us. We have to understand about the church, the body of Christ, and how He's our head. And the hope and the faith and the gospel that He has given to us to learn in this dispensation. We have to understand the truth of the mystery and how it affects us. We have to understand how we have now become complete in Christ and we don't need anything else anymore besides Him. And if we understand those things, and we learn those things, then we can begin to walk in a way that measures up to those things. Our walk will reflect that knowledge that we have had. Our walk will be fruitful. Our walk will be strong and powerful. It'll be with patience. It'll be with joy. It'll be continually giving thanks to God in that way. So I'm going to challenge you to find out where you're at on this. Have you been walking in your own strength, or have you been walking according to the knowledge that you receive from Him? Do you know what you need to know in order to walk in a way that pleases Him? If not, that's where we start. We start with learning. Transformation begins where? In the mind. Right? And then is evidenced in the body. Right? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come together and we study Your Word and we can learn from it. We're thankful that You have given to us now all wisdom that we need in this dispensation that we live, that we might understand the truth of the mystery, and that we might be able to share it with one another. We pray that You would then allow us to walk in a way that pleases You. Let us walk in Your strength, not ours. Let us walk in a way that reflects our knowledge of the Word. Let's use Your Word to fully equip us for the tasks that You've given to us, that we may be found worthy, that we may be found to measure up to Your standard, and that we may be found faithful in the tasks that You've had, that You have planned for us. All these things we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our power. Amen.